know for some people here this morning, it is difficult for you to worship God because you cannot be in this atmosphere and not worship God. So if you are in this atmosphere and you are not worshiping, you are not singing, you are not raising your hands, something happened in your life that either you didn't really experience God and you haven't truly encountered who God is, or somebody has really disappointed you and hurt you and misrepresented God to you. Now, other preachers might say to you, you are bad, you should do it. Maybe they don't even say you are bad and you should do it, but you feel that way. But that's not what I'm doing this morning. I'm here to say to you, first of all, sorry for the person. I apologize on behalf of the person who let you down, who disappointed you, who represented God to you in the way that they did that caused you not to be able to worship Him. It breaks my heart seeing people in a place like this where we gather together in unity, in oneness, to bring glory and honor to His name, to cry out, "Holy, holy is the Lord God." It breaks my heart seeing people that cannot do that. And the only reasons why they can't do that, like I said, is one, because they haven't truly encountered God. And if that is you, I'm trusting God that in today or tonight, when your heart is open, that you will really encounter Him so that you will know Him for who He truly is. Because when you know who God really is, when you've truly encountered Him, you will not be able to stand in a place like this or be at home and not be able to worship Him wholeheartedly with everything that's inside of you. If you understand the price that He paid, if you understand what He's done for your life, if you truly understood the life that is ours, the life that we live, you would not stand in a place not worshiping Him. So that's the one. The other thing is, I really trust God that He will bring healing, that He will minister to your heart. And some people don't want to, that's fine. We'll never force people to do it. But don't expect certain things that other people receive from God if you cannot even worship Him. Your worship is showing how much you love Him, how much you adore Him, how grateful you are. And obviously it just shows your relationship with Him. So for those people, someone just triggered me. For that person, nobody else saw you because they were worshiping. Actually, some people triggered me, but don't worry about other people. They were busy worshiping and focusing on God. And again, it's not to put you down. It's really to say that I'm trusting that God will meet with you. Whether it's in this building or whether it's at home, I'm trusting God that He will meet with you and you'll encounter Him. And secondly, for whoever hurt you, whoever disappointed you, it might not mean much to you now coming from me, apologizing on their behalf. But I'm sorry for what people have done to you. If you are in this building and you've been hurt and disappointed, I'm sorry on behalf of them. Don't let that limit your life. Don't let it limit your relationship with God. One day when we get to heaven, we will be held accountable for how we lived, what we did, what we didn't do on this earth. We're going to give an account for that. Don't let somebody else's doing keep the rewards for your life that God has assigned to you from you. Forgive them and move forward. Amen. Amen. If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning, I just want you to give God a shout of praise. But give Him the loudest shout that you can. You can do better than that. Amen. All right, so because it's a morning service, I know we're a little bit limited with time because I have to get to the service in Krugersdorp just to preach there as well. But before I do, I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on Prophet. As you know, for those of you who were here, he wasn't here last week, and he's not here this week because he was bitten by what we believe to have been a spider, which obviously caused him to get very sick. It caused him to be out of action for a little while, but he is on the mend. God is taking care of him. When it comes to my husband or my kids, I never fear for their lives, especially when it comes to sickness or when it comes to anything that happens in our lives. Because as you know, for me, everything happens for a reason. So if he had to get sick for a reason, there was a reason why God was allowing that sickness to take place. I know why, but I don't want to necessarily say it because some people don't know me. They don't know my heart, so they'll see it as arrogance. But anyway, so has been recovering. He will 100%, unless God does something else, because nobody's above God. He orders the ways of our life. Unless God does something else, he will be back with us next week, Sunday. But while he's recovering, we're standing in the gap for him. In that time, we ourselves are training and growing and developing. You know, it is very important that each and every single one of us make sure that we are continually growing, continually learning, and never stopping with that. Because the moment you stop is the moment you go backwards in life. God is moving forward. He's advancing. He's going with what his plan and his destiny is for the world, what he's ordained for the world to be. And if you staying at the back there, you can't move forward with him. So we need to constantly be growing, learning, developing, and stepping out as well and doing something about it. Don't just be trained, don't just be developed, but actually do something about it. That is why God has chosen you to do that. And saying that, as you know, we're busy with our Voices series, and it's been a very good series. I think this has been one of my favorite series, not just because I had to preach for two Sundays of it, but because what Prophet spoke about 2 weeks ago was something powerful when he spoke about sin and what sin really is. And that, for those people who listened to it, it would have set you free. It really would have set you free. And if it didn't, and if you haven't listened to it yet, I want to encourage you to go listen to the first part and the second part, and then go back and listen to last week's sessions as well, the third and the fourth part. Last week, Sunday morning, I spoke about three blockages as to why we don't hear God's voice. So what blocks us? Sorry, guys. You guys can just sit. You don't have to wait for me. I spoke about the three blockages, or there's obviously more, but three of the blockages that causes us not to be able to hear God's voice. And I spoke about the story of Elijah and the widow who was ready to go die. And the three blockages that I spoke about was she was self-centered. She was focused on the natural circumstances and she had given up her hope. So that was the three points we covered last week, but still go listen to it. Then Sunday night, God had a powerful message for everybody. None of what was said last week, Sunday night, was prepared. Absolutely nothing. As for those of you here, you would have seen I couldn't even read from my notes. I didn't actually even have notes, although it's a long story to explain what happened there that I don't have time for now because I really want to get into the message this morning. So I spoke about the blockages, what causes us not to be able to hear God's voice, but that comes from us. Today, I want to get into when God is silent, and I'm going to give you three reasons why God is silent. So last week, I spoke about what causes us not to be able to hear God's voice from our side. Today, I'm going to get into three reasons why God ends up being silent. Do you understand what I'm saying? So last week was from us. This week is why God on his part is silent for us. And I'm going to try and stick to the notes just because although we like to preach, we like to, really just talk. And I think we can just talk. We really can. You get to a place in your life where God has filled you so much with him and so much of his word that you can just talk anything. And I was saying to people, the more I read the word, the more I study the word, the more I really get into it and dive into it, for me, it feels like literally every single word in the Bible is connected to one another. Every situation, every example, every parable, everything always comes to the same place. It always ends up at the same place. So you can actually talk for hours and 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 hours reading the word, talking about the word, and you'll always end up at the same place, which is who you are in God. And. So I'm not going to start there, because if I start now, I'm just going to go into. So I'm going to try and stick to the notes. If you see me wander off, I don't know, somebody just point to their book or something and remind me to go back to the notes, just because I want to get these three things across to you properly. So, like I said, today I'm going to talk about when God is silent, how to interpret the silence of God. You know, it is true that there are times where God is silent. And it comes to when he's revealing your life and destiny to you. This is known as your silent season. So every person in their life, no matter how much you fast, no matter how much you pray, no matter how, you know, you do everything possible in your will, if it's God's time for you, if it's God's season of silence for your life, he will be silent. So let's go into three things why God would be silent. So the first one, when God is silent, it means he is working on you. So when God is silent, he is working on you. When God wants to use you as a vessel, then he will first need to do some work on you to shape you and to mold you so that you can handle what is to come. Revealing his will to you before you can handle what he has to give to you will be a waste, because you'll be unprepared for what God has ordained for your life to be fulfilled. His silence simply means he is busy training you. He is busy building you up for something greater. Amen. For those of you who's ever been in an exam room, you know a teacher is silent in the exam room. So when it's your time of testing, of preparation, or whatever God is busy with you, he will be silent. God was silent with Jesus for 30 years. You don't see Jesus communicating with God as a small child, yet he was God. From the beginning, or from the time that God spoke to him around his birth, you don't hear discussion again. Every time God is silent, focus on what God is busy changing and working in you. Jesus was 12 when he was in the temple. And as powerful as what Jesus was at the age of 12, he would not have been able to carry what God had for him if he had to step into what God had for him there. But he had to be in his season of preparation. In Luke 2 verse 52, we see that Jesus, so Luke 2 verse 52, we see that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So in those times of silence, Jesus didn't step back. He didn't be like, you know, what's happening with my life? No, he was in the temple preparing himself, making himself ready, training himself up for what God had ordained for his life to be. He didn't just stay back. Don't waste your moments of silence. When God is silent, rather than focusing and lamentating on your impatientness or being impatient, focus on him. Allow him to, meaning God, to build you up. Many people get fixated on God revealing his will, but they lack focus when it comes to the preparation of his will. Where God is shaping you, helping you to grow into the mantle, this is normal. This is the normal part of God's silence. Now listen to this. I want you to write this down. If you have not become the version that God needs you to be, he will keep focusing on your training. So if you've not become the version that God needs you to be to fulfill the will on your life, he will keep you in your season of training, of preparation. So instead of focusing, God, get me out of here. Many people, you know, they just ask God, get me out of this place, get me out of this place. But if it's not your time, don't rush out of that season. So they told me I need to hold the mic down. So for me, I sound like I'm very soft. I sound like I'm, you know, not right. So I want to preach like this, but I'm not allowed to because you can't see my face. So I have to preach like this. But this sounds so much better. So Pastor David, you're going to have to, create a technology that can move my hand down in the video, because I prefer the sound like this. For me, it sounds better. And I think for the crowd, it also sounds better. It might be because they've already adjusted my voice to preaching like this, where like that, I don't know. It doesn't really work for me, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try and stick to the rules, because sometimes you're given rules, and even if you don't want to follow them, you have to follow them. Because there's better in it where you can use more footage. It might seem simple, but you can use more footage like this than what you can use like that. So anyway, the second reason why God will be silent. So when God is silent, write it down. It means he is working on other factors needed to accomplish his will in your life. It means he is working on other factors needed to accomplish his will in your life. The will of God does not only depend on your obedience. The will of God depends on the synergy of many other people and many other factors. These are known as divine relationships strategically placed by God. I told you last week, Sunday night, for those of you who were here, I said that God has assigned certain people to you that will only meet him through you. So here, well, let me not get ahead of myself. When God leaves you in his silence, it is because he's at the other end of your destiny, rearranging the peoples and conditions that must make you walk into your purpose. If we go to Luke 1 verse 39, it says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. If Mary had a child before this time, there would have been no occasion that would bring the two of them together." So Mary and Elizabeth would not have come together if Mary had a child beforehand. After Mary had interacted with the angels, she had no one else that could relate to her situation, but she remembered that Elizabeth, a woman, was going through the same season. So Elizabeth and Mary were going through the same season. For those of you who don't know the story of Mary and Elizabeth, Elizabeth and Zacharias couldn't have a baby. And I want to drop the revelation now, but I also want to give you a moment just to get through the rest of the stuff. But so Elizabeth couldn't have a child with Zacharias, and she was at an old age. So it was, according to the worldly standard, it was almost impossible for her to be able to have a child because she was so old. Yet an angel of the Lord came to Zacharias and said to him that they will have a child and they'll name him John. So with Mary, in the circumstances of life, she was not supposed to have a child because she was unmarried, yet she had a child. But she was young and Elizabeth was old, so I'm going to get there. So I said that they had to, if Mary had had a baby before, she and Elizabeth would not have been able to meet. If Mary had to be pregnant before Elizabeth, it would have caused Jesus to wait for John the Baptist to grow up. This would have delayed Jesus's ministry, because John's assignment was to prepare the way for Jesus and to baptize him. So as John was roaming and growing up in the wilderness, Jesus was also growing. But if these two women were not pregnant at the same time, it would have caused delay on both Jesus and John's ministry. So listen to this. Before I say that, everything in your life happens for a reason. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And I'm going to make a statement just now that's really going to help somebody. And when I get there, I'll tell you this was the statement I was talking about. But listen to this. There are times that the silence of God means putting things in place to make sense of your destiny and your purpose. If we go to Luke 1 verse 41, it says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." But think about Elizabeth before the angel of the Lord came to Zacharias. There was times where she was crying. She was so desperate for a baby. She was crying out. She was saying to God, "God, give me this child." I don't know what she was saying, because it doesn't say in the Bible what she was saying, but she was desperate. She was so longing to have a child, because the Bible clearly says she's in her old age. So we don't know how many years she cried out for this child. But God was silent in all those years. Yet the Holy Ghost spoke through Elizabeth. The moment Elizabeth met with Mary, the Holy Spirit came again, and Elizabeth began to speak again. She said, or then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, so verse 42, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This right here, what Elizabeth was saying, is prophecy in the making. Who told Elizabeth that Mary was carrying her Lord? Who told her that Mary was carrying her Lord? She didn't even know that John was the one who had to prepare the way for Jesus. But yet God knew what he was doing in her situation. He knew that she was the one who had to carry John. She knew that he had prepared her to carry everything that John needed to be raised up, the man that he had to become. And if you really look at the story of John, I don't have time to get into that today, but if you look at the kind of man that John was, he knew that the reason why he was there was to prepare the way for Jesus. But he couldn't have done that on his own, if you understand what I'm saying. Now I'm getting a little bit into functions of parents and all that kind of stuff. So verse 44 says, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Right there, when Mary and Elizabeth spoke, Jesus was obviously in Mary's womb, and John was in Elizabeth's womb. There's no way for them to physically be able to meet one another. Yet, right there, when John leapt in Elizabeth's womb, destiny was connected. They knew that their destiny with one another was connected right there in that moment. Understand that you carry the destinies of other people. This means there are many people waiting for you to connect with them so that their destinies can be unlocked. I spoke to you about that last week, Sunday night. Go listen to it and you'll understand. This means that the process for many people is delayed until you go through your process of training, your process and your training. This is exactly what we do here at Encounter. We help you through that process. Understand that, I don't want to say that one out right. I'll say that one just now. So let's go into the third point just for time. But before I say that, I want you to understand what that second point was. So the first point is God is preparing you. He needs to take you through seasons and testings to prepare yourself. Because if you step into something that you're not ready for, you will not be able to handle what is coming your way that comes with that. Then the second thing is God has to prepare everything around you. He has to prepare the right people. So Elizabeth was 6 months further along in her pregnancy than what Mary was. But they had to be pregnant together. They had to be pregnant at the same time. So Elizabeth had to wait all those years waiting for God to come through. And she gave up. At some point, she must have given up. But God knew exactly what he was doing. So to you, it might feel like whatever your breakthrough that you need from God, whatever it is that you trust in God for, whatever your purpose is or what God has ordained for you to do, you might feel like it's taking long. And I can tell this from experience, because for me, it felt like God was keeping me in a place for 13 years. Because I was a home cell leader already from the age of 13. So I was already serving God fully from the age of 13. And only at the age of 28, which is actually 15 years later, did God start using me. For 15 years, I had to wait and I had to be in that season. And I want to explain why, but I don't think I can explain that yet. But let's go to the third point. When God is silent, this is a long one. When God is silent, it means that he is fighting on sin battles and averting certain dangers that may befall you on your way. There's a bit of feedback on the stage. Okay. So I'm going to start from the beginning. It's worse. It means that he is fighting. So the third reason why God is silent, it means that he's fighting on sin battles and averting certain dangers that may befall you on your way to executing his will. I'm going to read it again. It means that he is fighting on sin battles and averting certain dangers that may befall you on your way to executing his will. When Satan tries to stop you and stop your destiny, and he can see that you are stepping into what God has for you, the next thing that he does is he programs all kind of wars on your path to stop you from stepping into the fullness of your destiny. God will then hold back a little bit on your destiny so that he can prepare or work and fight the battles that Satan has put in place to stop you. So let me say it again. When Satan sees that you are stepping into what God has for you, and he sees that there's nothing that he can do to limit you or to cause you to step back from it, and you and yourself, you've been through the training, you've been through the process, you've been found faithful in that, and you're moving forward, then he will see, okay, I can do nothing to her, so I need to put other things along the way that will then limit her. So other battles he'll put in place there. So what God then does is then he says, okay, I'm taking you back a little bit. I'm putting it on hold just for a moment so that I can deal with this, what's happening. You know, when Jesus was born, we know that Herod was very upset when he was born, and he wanted to kill all the babies. So what God then did in Matthew 2 verse 20, he told Mary and Joseph to move out of the place where they were until God could deal with Herod. So the only time that God could send them back, and while they were waiting in this place and while they were there waiting for, they didn't know necessarily that God was going to deal with Herod. They didn't know when God was going to move. But in that moment where God had told them to move and they were waiting for the next step, God was silent. Until Matthew 2 verse 20, when the angel of the Lord, or when the angel came to him and they said, now you can go back because Herod is dead. So God had to deal with him first, deal with the person who was holding them or who was causing danger to Jesus in a place where, and Mary would have said, why am I here? Like, when are we going to get back to our normal life? She would have spoken that way, thinking, but God, like, have you forgotten about us? Because in that time, God was silent until Herod had died. And in Matthew 2 verse 20, it says, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he rose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Now they could go back, because the moment that the threat on Jesus's life was over by Herod that was killed. So while God is suspending the revelation of his will, he's making sure that all those things are dealt with. When the road is clear, when God has dealt with all these things that the enemy is throwing your way, then he will say to you, okay, now you can go. But please understand, the silence of God is an advantage to you. People take God's silence as a negative, but the silence of God is an advantage for you. A lot of people beg God, God, take me out of the season. Get me out of the season. And eventually, I know when my children beg me for certain stuff, eventually I get to the place of where I'm like, whatever. Just do what you want to do and suffer the consequences. In the same way, a lot of people beg God to get them out of a certain season, and he opens the door, but then they're not able to handle what comes or what awaits them. So, and I'm going to share with you now how to survive your silence of season, your silent season. So that you know how to get through this time and hopefully be encouraged to fight a little longer. Because a lot of people come to the place where they give up because they do not understand why God is silent. But after today, I want you to know that there's a reason why God is silent. He's preparing you. He's setting up everything that needs to be put in place for you to fulfill the fullness of your destiny. And he's fighting a war on your behalf. Allow God to deal with the battles that the devil has programmed for your life. If you do not understand the sight of God, you'll never be able to give thanks, even when you don't understand him. So if you don't understand that God is busy fighting battles, he's busy preparing you, and he's busy preparing others, you won't be able to give thanks to him. And that's why a lot of people cannot even give thanks, or they cannot rejoice, because they think God has just left them. But let me say it this way. Every time you insist and put pressure on God, saying to him, Lord, I don't understand this thing. I have a will. I choose my will. Let it be done this way. And you choose to do things your way, there will be consequences that you have to face. So let's quickly go. I have a few minutes. Let's quickly go in how to survive the silent season. The Bible shows us that Joseph had a dream, but that was the end of it. So in Genesis 37, it talks about Joseph and his life. But the Bible shows us that Joseph had a dream, and that was the end of it. He dreamed about, you know, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, but then God was silent. When Joseph entered the pit, I'm sure he said, God, explain to me why a righteous man, you know, will be put in a pit by his own brothers. Yet God was still silent. When they were selling him in Egypt, God was still silent. But was he out of the will of God? No. Even in your confusion, God is still leading you. As confused as what you think you are, God is leading you. This is how God leads. So, if God's desire for you is to get in through this left door, but he can see that with all honesty and sincerity inside of you, believing him, you turn right. So I'm going to say it again. With all honesty and sincerity and believing in him, wanting to do his will, but God has ordained for you to go in the left door, but he sees you are going in the right direction, in the right door, but with all honesty, sincerity, and believing and trusting in him, you go to the right side. God will move that door from the left-hand side to the right-hand side so that you can step into the will that he has ordained for your life. That is how determined God is for you to step into the will for your life. People don't understand how powerful God is. But I want to add and say, people don't understand the value that they are to God. You have so much value to God. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 28. It's Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together, not for everybody. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So it doesn't work together for everybody. It works to, all things work together for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So anytime you don't understand your life, just ask, do I love the Lord? So whenever you do not understand what is going on in your life in a season or in a moment, ask yourself the question, do I love the Lord? Because the scripture clearly tells us that God works together all things for those who love Him. So the number one key to surviving your season of silence is if your love is still in place. So if you've asked yourself the question and you see that you still love God, find rest. Find rest. Rest in the fact, in knowing that God is working together all things for you because you love Him. If your love for God is still in place, you can find rest knowing that He will fulfill that which He has spoken to do over your life. This quickens your years of silence. The troubles only start in your life. The troubles only start in your life when the challenges that you face steals your love for God. So the troubles in your life start when the challenges that you face steals your love for God. So when you no longer rest in Him, look at the tragedies that Joseph's life had. From the well, to him being sold, and then him landing up in prison. He was falsely accused, but yet he didn't lose his love for God. He eventually then became the head of the prisoners, and just when he was about to find rest in that, Potiphar's wife came along, and he ended up back in the prison. So the people who he was over was now over him while he was in prison. Sometimes it may look like a setback in your life, but God is setting you up for something greater. So what seems like a setback to you, or it seems like you're taking a step backwards, instead of waddling in that, take a moment to think, but wait, is this God? I share this every single time I have a mic in my hand, and I will share it again today. Everything in your life happens for a reason. Absolutely everything that happens in your life happens for a reason. And the moment that you realize, but God is busy doing something in the background that I cannot see, you will have peace. You'll be able to find rest. You'll be able to hear Him more than starting to stress and try and figure out things for yourself. It is one of the greatest things that I learned in my life was to realize that no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through, if I know, I might not know what is the reason why God is doing a certain thing or allowing a certain thing, even though I don't understand it. And trust me, it happens a lot where I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand why I have to face this. I'm sure Joseph didn't know why he had to go back to prison after he was already there. But God was testing his character to see if he could find pride. Joseph had a legitimate reason to be offended. Like, how did he get there? Simply because of a dream? God, how is that possible? He must have been thinking. Unfortunately, many people give up at this place. How many would pray to give it to somebody else? So in that moment where God is silent, or you take a step back, or you realize that everything that you're facing or this season of silence is too much, people will say, God, I've had enough. Give this to somebody else. And the sad thing is a lot of people don't even know that they're doing that. The Bible very clearly says that out of the mouth flows the issues of life. So a lot of people speak and speak and speak and speak and speak and speak, and they'll negatively say, and I don't want, it's not innocent, because we should be mindful of what we're saying. We should be mindful of, you know, the condition of our life. But it happens so easily that people just speak, or they'll just say something and they'll think, but I didn't mean that. Yet you did, because it comes out of your heart. It comes, well, came out of your mouth, so that is what's in your heart. So the point number two to how to survive your silent season is learn how to live in the silence of God. Joseph went to prison and stayed there. Even in his confusion and pain, he was still in the will of God. And one day, there was two men who obviously needed him to interpret their dreams. But he didn't say, when they left the prison, he didn't say to them, tell Pharaoh to make me king. All he wanted was for them to tell Pharaoh that he's innocent. But the man, the wine presser, got out, went to Pharaoh, and did not say anything about Joseph. He forgot him for another 2 years. So Joseph had to just learn more patience. In the silent years, it'll feel like everything has died. Joseph, I believe, at some point gave up on what God had said to him. But he learned to live in the silent years. After 2 years and more of silence, the voice of God was about to come to pass. Even when you're about to enter the season of his voice, you will not know you are that close. It'll be the morning, and then the king will send for you, like he sent for Joseph. So Joseph didn't know. He woke up that morning not knowing that the king was about to call for him. Not knowing. So he woke up greeting the other prisoners. I'm sure he was a friendly man. He greeted the prison guards, because at one point he was over them. So he must have had some kind of relationship with him. And that morning he didn't know that God was about to change his season of silence. God was about to take him out of that season and put him into the perfect will for his life. So point number three to how to survive your season of silence. You will hear God's voice at the end of your silent season. When God comes to the end of a silent season, it won't come in a small voice. It'll come with all his majesty. He will do things that is impossible for you to doubt that this was God. I'm going to say it again. God will do things that you will see, that you'll think to yourself, this is impossible to have been done by anyone else other than God. Amen? Amen. Joseph got up that morning, like I said, greeting everybody, not knowing that he was about to become the prime minister. But he didn't just sit the 2 years waiting for that. We don't know how many years before that he was sitting. We only hear that 2 years from when the wine presser left. So it was X amount of years plus two. That morning he didn't know that he was going to become prime minister. He didn't know that the jailer who opened the door for him, he would now become his boss. Everything Joseph dreamt about, everything that he dreamt about while he was in prison, God answered those dreams in one day. in one day. So he dreams for how many years? God had shared with him many years before he even went to prison. Because then he was in the well, and then he was sold, and then he was in prison, and then he was over them, and then he went back to prison. So God had given him a dream how many years before? Then he had to face everything that he was facing. Still dreaming, at some points he might have given up a little bit, but then he would get his hope back and he would dream. He still trusted God. He still loved God. And therefore, God came through for him right in the end. Well, we don't know how long afterwards, but I mean, in the end of that season of silence, God came through to him. And he didn't just come through taking him out of prison. He came through for him with a bang, where he then stepped into the full purpose that God had for him. Then he became second in command. So he woke up that morning without a wife. He was given a wife. He woke up that morning in prison without a job, without a function, without a purpose. And he was given, and he was made second in command over all of them. So when your season of silence comes to an end, know that God, everything that happens with you, someone might just come to you and say, listen, I'm moving to Australia, but I need you to be the CEO of my company. I need you to run it for me because I know you can do it. Somebody can say, hey, I need somebody. You've been faithful. It might not be this church now, but you might be faithful. And God has watched you and seen you be faithful over the years. And prophet said, hey, I need somebody to plant a church in this location. I need you to go because you have been found faithful. So when God, I'm ending off, when God is silent, I want you to be encouraged today. So last week we spoke about you, what causes you to block it. Go listen to it if you didn't, so that you know what your part in is it. But if you are not doing those things, if you are doing everything right on your part, not that we'll always do everything right, but you're doing with all sincerity inside of you, doing everything that you can to fulfill the will of God. If nothing is happening in your life, I want you to realize, but God is silent for a reason. You might be in the first phase, the second phase, or the third phase, but I've given you keys today to survive your season of silence. Amen. 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 Let's all stand up. And I want everybody just to raise your hands and close your eyes. And before we go, I'm just going to call up Pastor Martin, and he's going to just speak to you quickly. But I want to encourage everybody not to miss tonight. Come expectant, come hungry, invite somebody that needs a touch from God. Amen. Amen.